When one goes to war with the green-skinned armies of the orcs, one of the most noticeable and fearsome aspects of facing against the Horde will be the sight of thousands of ramshackle, oil-belching vehicles, rusted fighter jets, and gigantic walking mechanical contraptions. In addition, the vast array of odd and bulky weaponry is truly bewildering, especially when you bear witness to the continuous streams of red-hot lead and arcing missiles, which continuously sputter out from their brutish barrels. Now, it does not take a genius to work out that many orcs are rather intellectually challenged, so it poses an important question. Who builds these terrible constructions for them? Well, the answer to this is rather simple, and it would be the mech boys. These mechs, sometimes known as Mechaniacs, or to the feral orc tribes as Boiler Boys, are responsible for all aspects of building orky contraptions. They seem to be blessed with a natural gift for engineering and appear to display a ravenous interest towards inventing, constructing, maintaining, and tinkering with their mechanical tools. One might even begin to wonder how it is that an orc could ever have mastered the skills of engineering. This question may even border on insulting to those of you who consider themselves as engineers. But nevertheless, today we shall be exploring the crude ingenuity of the mechs. Firstly, I shall attempt to cover their technological acumen, before dissecting the vital role which they play within orky society. Finally, I shall go into the raw details of one of their strangest contraptions which has been encountered within the galaxy, the shock attack gun. To begin, let us attempt to explore the intellect of these mechs. To some degree, all orcs have an instinctual grasp of the technological workings within their machines and tools, and the true reasons towards this ability are often debated by Imperial Magos biologist agents. The leading theory behind this innate skill is that in the ancient days of the galaxy, the masters of the orcs, known as the Brain Boys, imbued their genome with artificial and experimental strands of DNA to provide them with somewhat of an intellectual advantage. These fragments seem to have provided the orcs with a hard-coded understanding of technology, allowing a mech to take apart and rebuild a complex engine even if he has never been taught how to. Now, an important point to mention is that not all orcs possess these fragments. There are thought to be genes which imbue a sense of medical acumen, as are found in the Pain Boys, or genes which give a poignant understanding of raising grots, as would be seen in the runt herders. The next theory, which has been somewhat discredited by senior biologist agents, is that the mechs are not actually proficient engineers at all, and the fact that their equipment can even work as expected is solely due to the combined psychic power of the entire orc species. There are several inexplicable beliefs within an orc society, which under normal circumstances should never have an impact upon reality. But the orcs have continuously baffled Imperial agents by proving their beliefs to cause some slight but significant changes to our world. The prime example of this would be the orc mantra of "Red ones go faster." I do not need to explain to you all how preposterous this is, and yet, time and time again, orcs who have painted themselves or their vehicles red do actually appear to move faster. This concept can be extended towards their equipment as well. When Mechanicus Tech Priests have recovered any so-called technology from the orcs upon studying them, they often find their inner workings to be nothing but a box of loose bolts, rusted scraps, and severed, crude circuitry. The tech priests can seldom force these tools to work as intended, since they appear to have never worked at all, so we must ask how they were functioning when in the hands of an orc. This brings us back to the psychic theory. It reads that if the orcs believe the mechs to be good at engineering and that they believe in their tools being functional, then the tool will work. This theory would be incredibly difficult to prove. But some Imperial agents will swear that it is the truth, and they will die on their hill claiming that we are continuously underestimating the combined psychic might of the Orc beliefs. Now, with the two theories having been laid out, you may choose as to which you ascribe to, but knowing the truth would provide us with no advantages. We cannot convince the Orcs that their technology does not work, since it is obviously functional to them, and some of their machines clearly show some quite advanced features, which operate on a rather complex level. So there has to be some engineering ability held within the mechs. In any case, they will use their technological prowess throughout their lives, emboldening the tribe with whatever tinkering they choose to do. Now that we understand the root of their abilities, let us explore the actual mechanical know-how of the mechs. They show a clear obsession towards building whatever crude and brutal contraptions they can, and their workshop floors are always littered by half-finished projects of jagged metal and loose cabling. As previously explained, the mechs do have some innate understanding of basic engineering, and oftentimes they will use this to pursue their passions in tinkering, jury-rigging, and generally attaching new tools onto whatever frame they have found. No two constructs within an orc camp will ever be the same, since the mechs will always find new spots to weld a fancy missile launcher, a new engine, or a grot-flinging device, regardless of whether or not it makes the vehicle more functional. Similarly, weapons are never safe from the crazed eyes of a mech. They will look upon a gun and ask the important questions of, why are there not more triggers? Why does it not have three more barrels? Why does it shoot bullets instead of rockets? And why is it your gun and not mine? As such, they will furiously modify their guns into becoming mighty tools of indiscriminate destruction, which often pose just as much of a threat to themselves as it does to the enemy. Huge shooters have been spotted with parts of alien weapons having been haphazardly attached to the ends of their barrels. Missile batteries have been soldered onto the frame, and even the iron sights may be replaced with small chairs for grots to sit upon, where they attempt to point out creeping enemies amidst a battlefield. The knowledge and skills of the mechs does not end at simple vehicles or weapons, as the wonders of Orky manufacturing will end only with the aspirations of the mech himself. And if he looks towards the stars, then that is where his talents shall bring him. An Ork War could never leave a planet's surface without the huge void ships and barges of the Orks, and it is here that the mechs will shine. Huge cadres and teams of mech boys will put their heads together to figure out a solution for the problem of space travel. Thankfully, the mechs know how smart they are and how simple this problem really is. All you need to travel through space is a big ship with a big engine, which the mechs can easily construct out of the scrap metal of a planet. Now, the mechs are not only proficient in the art of engineering, as they also stand as something of a mad scientist within an orc camp. They routinely spend their days toying with ideas for new, death-spitting contraptions, or by arguing over the best methods for strapping a pilot's seat onto a rocket. Furthermore, they will often be found working away with the orc doctors, who are known as pain boys, to manufacture new cybernetic organs which the mad doc will jovially transplant into an unwitting boy who simply thought he was going to have his hair squig trimmed. Mechs also seem to have a potent ability to decipher the workings of other technological tools which they have uncovered. After but a short few hours, they can take any piece of hardware from across the galaxy and somehow retrofit it to meet the needs of the Orc tribe. Because of this, it is very common for Freebooter or Death Skulls tribes to contain huge numbers of mechs who will assess and value whatever loot and scrap has been recovered from a battlefield. Clearly, the skill set of a mech is a highly prized and sought-after thing for the orcs. Most boys will end up spending their teeth within a mech shop, where they will seek out his technical know-how to produce them a new gun or to just soup up their war bike. For a mech who proves himself to be a true master of engineering, then the gaze of a war boss will inevitably turn to them, whereby he will employ them as his own personal mech. Whilst in this esteemed position, he may be tasked with building the boss a flashy suit of mega armor or a snapping hydraulic power claw. Alternatively, the boss may have his sights set upon a new war, and so he will order the mechs to begin constructing a vast array of vehicles and weapons with which to carry the boys out into battle. With this all being said, the aspirations of a mech may be slightly higher than to simply work for a war boss. As a mech grows meaner and greener, he will inevitably become what is known as a big mech. These experienced orcs will rule over rather impressive workshop complexes inhabited by hundreds of scurrying Gretchen who carry out his every whim. Some big mechs will even advance in status and power to become a mech boss, who rule over an entire warband in the same way that a conventional war boss would. The tribes controlled by a mech boss obviously become very technologically centric, and the mechs of these groups are held in far higher regard when compared to a conventional tribe. The orcs will wield highly customized and experimental weapons, cooked up in the deepest corners of a mech shop, purely in the name of discovery and science. These groups tend to contain a huge proportion of cyborgs as well, since the curious mechs can't help but wonder what the nearest boy would look like with a cybernetic limb. When the boys under a mech boss go to war, they're often enveloped by a vast custom force field, which is a crackling, sparking, and inconsistent shield against enemy fire. Some mech bosses may eschew the use of boys entirely, favoring the strength of tin over that of flesh. These mechs will construct huge armies of death dreads and killer cans, forming what is known as a dread mob. These are walking mechanical canisters which contain within them a permanently wired-in and attached pilot who will tend to go a little stir-crazy from being locked inside a metal can for so long. Sometimes the mechs who lead these dread mobs go a little mad themselves. If you were a mech, why would you stop at ruling over 10 dreads and 20 killer cans when you could rule over 100 of each? As such, many mechs will simply turn rogue to the ways of the war and will instead seek out to obtain as many resources as possible purely to fulfill their goal in possessing the most deaf dreads and killer cans that the galaxy has ever seen. Now that we understand a little more about the mechs themselves, let us delve into a mech shop and investigate the gubbins and knickknacks which exist within them. These workshops, with their eclectic piles of hazardous wonders, are veritable treasure troves of ingenuity. Amidst the cluttered disarray, exotic components and half-formed machines take shape in every nook and cranny that manages to escape the rampant mess. The walls will be utterly coated with overlapping tool boards, displaying hundreds of gigantic spanners, rusted ratchets, disjointed nail guns, smoldering torch cutters, arcing welders, blunted knives, broken hammers, sparking electrical equipment, bent nails, twisted cogs, and even more crude tools for the mech to play with. These have all been tailor-made for the mech's calloused and gnarled hands, and they will be used until something vital snaps or breaks off, at which point the mech will solemnly retrofit the prized tool as yet another component to be added into a new creation. The ceilings will dangle with chains and joints holding up trucks and war buggies to allow the mech to access their sputtering engines or broken axles. Meanwhile, the floors are slick with black oils and glimmering petrol, causing many poor grots to slip and fall into some gutter, much to the delight of the ruling mech. Despite the obvious fire hazard of these workshops, there is seldom found to be any kind of fire alarm or sprinkler system. This makes a lot of sense to the mech, however, for why would he waste valuable components on fighting a fire when he could use them to build a new gun instead? Oftentimes, the mech will be occluded by a field of dense cigar smoke, the exhaust of whatever engine he's working on, strange aerosols of oily mist, and the drifting particles of metallic dust kicked out by the whirring mechanical saw blades as they slide through crude metal plates. The mech himself will be utterly coated in a layer of soot and grime, with his boots being in a far worse state than would be found on even a citizen upon Catacan. For the mech, though, he simply loves this existence. He cares not for the dirt, as it simply adds some flavor and charm to his creations, and he will gleefully work deep into the night, churning out new mechanical creations all the while. The same, however, cannot be said for his grot companions. Within the workshops, there will exist hundreds of lowly grots, Gretchen, and snotlings who have been enslaved by the mech to enact his maniacal wishes. They will choke on the heavy fumes which eat into their feeble lungs. Their weak arms can barely hold up the mech's tools, leading many to be crushed under the weight of various objects around the lab. Many constructs within the mech shop will continuously spin or walk about, almost as if they have some form of free will. And these machinations will simply squash any inattentive grots who did not see the half-formed, deaf dread walking towards them. Some rooms of the mech shop will exist as storage facilities, and these will be utterly rammed with orky tools of war. Countless numbers of sluggers and shooters will fill these armories to the point of bursting, leading to many weapons to simply spill out onto the streets for the boys to steal. Other storerooms will be filled with stick bombs and gigantic warheads, which will occasionally explode, reducing half of the tribal grounds to smoldering ash, much to the displeasure of the ruling war boss. Many mech shops will be attached to a parcel of land owned by the adherents towards the cult of speed. They will have adapted the landscape into a huge racetrack, which will be used to test out the top speeds and maneuverability of the mech's newest war trucks and bikes. The roaring sound of engines will screech through an orc camp, and the vast occlusive clouds of thick black smog will billow out of both the machine's engines as well as the mech shop itself. In some rare mech shops, we may even find an experimental facility towards building a weapon known as a shock attack gun. This is perhaps the most bizarre and dangerous weapon ever invented by the orcs, but it stands as a true testament towards the skills of engineering which is possessed by the mechs, for it exists not only as a potent cannon, but also as a small portal into the warp. It appears as a huge vacuum tube, which connects to a heavy frame of bolted metal, and at its barrel there is a huge spinning contraption of cogs and wheels, which accelerate a strange trio of glowing orbs towards incredible speeds. As an object moves through the funnel, the weapon will produce a small warp portal, which accelerates and transfigures the object towards whatever point the mech has aimed at. Most mechs see it as wasteful to shoot pieces of metal with this tool, as they find themselves to get far better results from using snotlings as their choice of ammunition. These unfortunate creatures will be exposed to the snatching horrors of the warp, who would greedily consume the little green treat if he wasn't being propelled at such high speeds that not even a demon could steal him. As the snotling emerges on the other side, they have completely lost their minds and entered into a state of pure, psychotic rage, whereby the only thing their puny brains can focus on is the innate urge to survive. Now, due to the strange nature of the warp, it is possible for the Snotlings to emerge not near their target, but within them. In these circumstances, the unfortunate victim will suddenly feel a very strange sensation within their body, of a furious, crazed creature gnawing and clawing its way out in a burst of terrified gore. Mechs who use these weapons are often closely associated with runt herders, who keep vast chain gangs of snotlings by their side to be used as a constant source of ammunition for the strange gun. In rare circumstances, groups of several big mechs may bring their shock attack guns to bear as a combined battery, and with a horde of snotlings by their side, they will unleash blasts of untold havoc across a battlefield, leading to an incredibly unpredictable level of destruction to their enemies. The shock attack gun is far from perfect, and to call it reliable would be a flat-out lie, which even the mechs would acknowledge. Sometimes the gun can simply malfunction and open a gaping portal to the warp, which will suck in the mech, half of his boys, and then rapidly close, leaving just an empty echo of reality in its place. Similarly, the weapon may open the warp portal far from its intended target, or it will shoot the mech in place of his snotling army, resulting in a very confused enemy battle line having to deal with a disgruntled mech who can't understand why he has appeared there without his tools. This shall bring an end to our investigation towards the orc mechs. These odd boys are a pivotal and vital component of any orc tribe, and without them, it is doubtful that a war would ever reach its true level of potential. While many orcs may see a mech as a slightly untrustworthy git who only seeks to scam them out of their treasured teeth, they still acknowledge and give thanks to him, for who else could mount a new shooter onto his fancy truck? It is quite rare for a boy to ever get the exact item which he requested from a mech, but whatever it is that the mech constructs for him, it is certainly a tool which will aid the boy in his oncoming war.